Gates, when you saw that bird, was there any indication just from looking at him that this bird is special?
You know how it is. It happens so fast. They did that velociraptor run in there. you know how it is when they hit that velociraptor run. They're swaying back and forth, and it's all happening so fast.
I thought the first clue might have been that he was a state record when he kept tripping over his beard.
He
was tumbling. So that's probably why he only had a few strands left. He pulled the other ones out.
That may have been the cause of the pterodactyl run. But I just seen two long beards come. I said it's.
Camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early dawn to climb up in my stand.
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should too. Make your hunt easier. Use WiseEye. Legacy Farmland Specialist presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. We are in the studio. My voice is a little harsh. I was mowing leaves yesterday, and you know how it is, mowing leaves. There's pollen and all kinds of stuff, man. My sinus has been killing me. We just finished up our Missouri youth turkey season here in Missouri, and man, have we got a great story lined up for you today. We got two guys in the studio, Ryan McKinley with Legacy Farmland Specialist LLC, and A.H. Marshall, the guide that called in the gobbler for Ryan's son. And you ready for this, everybody? The beard. You measured it twice, several times. You just can't get over it. But the beard was between 16 and 17 inches long.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie Salter.
So we are in the studio. We're going to talk about this starting segment two. But right now we're going to talk about current events. You don't want to go away because this story is fabulous. And these guys are turkey killers, and they've got excellent properties for sale, Legacy does. And we'll talk about some of that. But current events, youth turkey season, Redbone.
Yeah, youth turkey season was a tremendous success statewide.
And our numbers, I think last year we killed 2,500 birds.
2,550.
And in
2024,
drum roll,
3,739 birds.
Oh, my goodness.
It was up 1,200 birds statewide. That's pretty good improvement.
That's impressive.
That's pretty good improvement. So you want some individual counties?
Yeah, here we go.
Well, let me give you a few. No particular order. Oregon County, 31. Shannon County, 17. Carter County, 13. Howell County, 32. Douglas County, 44.
There's where they're at.
Ozark County, 29. Texas County. Yeah, turkey murderers in Texas County. 78.
They got more turkeys.
78 birds in Texas.
Turkeys. They got more turkeys than what we do in the southern part. Now, the county that's rocking again, Douglas County. Think about how many they killed.
44 in Douglas, 24 in Ripley County, 11 in Butler County, 46 Cape Girardeau County. That's a good number for Cape. Dent County at 40, Stoddard County at 34. And on the breakdown, 2,644 mature gobblers, 1,032 jakes, and 63 bearded hens.
63 bearded hens. Wow. That's amazing. Actually,
yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
they killed more mature gobblers this year, the kids did, than all the birds combined last spring.
Hmm. That's awesome.
Well, think
that's
about
awesome.
That.
Well, you know, it just goes back to what we've been saying, guys. You know, we've had bad hatches for years and finally had a good hatch over in southern Missouri here, this part, Shannon County. I think Oregon County's still struggling and Thayer area and Alton.
Well, but the kids killed twice as many birds in Oregon County as they did in Shannon.
Yeah. So it must be better in Oregon County than it is Shannon.
Parts of it, I'm thinking.
Now, Ripley County's struggling. I know. I've talked to farmers over there and they say it's struggling. So, anyway. That's great. You know, Missouri turkey season comes up this Monday. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get your tags purchased. And, you know, they set a new regulation, not a regulation, but they opened all day hunting to private landowners, Wayne. Did you know that?
Yeah, unfortunately, though, I won't be doing it. I'm gonna be hitting the state lands. I just don't even got enough birds on my property to warrant trying to go after them. I want to get my population up a little bit higher.
So, Alex, your thoughts, and you guys too. We've been struggling with turkey numbers. I mean, everybody agrees. Turkey numbers are way down. So why and what is the reasoning behind then going ahead and opening up hunting on private land to all day?
I don't know. I'll interject there. You know, I've hunted from starting to the south all the way up to, you know, Kansas, and I feel like a lot of people have mixed emotions. You see the Colonel and the Fox and that new YouTube video that they put
out. It's fabulous.
It's wonderful. Fabulous. I mean, as far as coming from where we started all as turkey hunters when I was 6 years old, I'd go to Steelville and you'd hear three or four birds gobbling up there off of Highway 8. We have a family farm up there, and the management that MDC has done to ensure our future and future turkey hunters has just been phenomenal. And it brought chills to my body when I watched the Colonel, because I remember stepping in a 40-acre block of woods and only hearing one bird. And you go down to Mississippi County, which is traditionally probably the lowest county on record for a number of turkeys harvested, or somewhere around 50. And now you go to these woods and these river bottoms, and it's just, I mean, abundant is an understatement. It is far, you hear 10, 12, you know, 15 birds gobbling, just depending on where you're at.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, and that's probably the key there, is it just depends on where you are.
That's right. I think another thing, too, a lot of people don't put in consideration. I was just hunting in a thunderstorm, pouring down rain yesterday. I've been listening to these birds for about a month, and I was hearing 3 to 5 birds gobbling in southern Illinois on this particular 1,000-acre track. The thunderstorm hit in. I heard 15 birds gobbling yesterday, and a high volume of them were jakes. So when you have a high density of jake population, you're not really considering that a big gobbler, mature gobbler, 10, 15 hens, he doesn't want to gobble up the competition.
That's exactly
15
right.
15 jakes can whoop a 4-year-old long
beard. Well, they gang up on them. That's why I think we're not hearing many turkeys in around Birch Tree area. You know, I've been listening every morning since March 1st and walking, as you know, Ryan. And everybody knows, but I've not heard a turkey gobble at my place in the last 3 days.
Oh, that's crazy. What do you think that the reason for that is?
The jakes. We had a fabulous, I think, exceptional hatch, and seeing several jakes. And as soon as a mature turkey goes to gobbling, guess where them jakes are running to? And they're in groups.
Full speed.
And they gang up on these long bears shut them up. So what's going on? A lot of these gobblers that are not with hens, they're not gobbling, you know. They're slipping in their satellites. They're going around these other turkeys just gobbling, trying to steal a hen from them, you know?
Absolutely.
We worked a turkey 2 days in a row, okay? And same turkey. First day, we called to him. He gobbled, I think, 8 times. Come to us. The closest he'd get to us was 100 yards. Skirted us. Come into the food plot, Eagle Seed food plot, saw the decoys, tucked his wings, turned around, walked off.
He'd been beat up.
Yeah,
he'd been beat up. Then the next day, we went and thought, all right, well, that evening went to another place on my farm, and I've been getting gobbler pictures there, and nothing. And right before dark, here come a long beard across the power line and a jake. Then a hen come in later, and on my other wise-eye camera, it showed that gobbler back at my food plot where we left him that morning.
Right.
So we went back there the next morning and thought, we're not going to call. We're just going to wait on him, not use decoys, just wait on him. That turkey gobbled on his own, come up to us within 70, 80 yards, 80 yards of us, stayed under the rim of the hill, and come out at the end of the food plot of a down tree, never would come into that food plot like he knew he was there. And we wouldn't make a noise. We never called. We did nothing. Just goes to show you that turkey's scared of that food plot because he saw that Jake decoy that was half strut the day before.
I call that like a big old buck when he has that scrape line. He don't ever come out in the middle of that field. He gonna scent check back in the cover. That big old gobbler, he had that turkey eye up there.
That's
didn't he?
Right. That's right. We're gonna go to a break, everybody. When we come back, we're talking more with Ron McKinley with Legacy Farmland Specialist LLC and A.H. Marshall about their successful turkey hunt. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Hey, y'all. It's Tyler Farr. And you're hanging with me and my good buddy, Alex Rutledge, on American Roots Outdoors.
Cutting off the farm, wishing on some luck. I've been on a big boy for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hey, turkey hunters, this is Alex Rutledge. Have you heard about Apex Ammunition? If you haven't, they are American-owned, American-made, made one at a time, hand-loaded. These turkey loads will give you the confidence that you need to close the deal on that old Hook Daddy Longbeard gobbler. For more information, go to www.apexammunition.com.
Across the creek of a big old hill, year after year, got my hunting gear.
Hornady Ammunition presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors again. We are in the studio at K-Country 95 Thayer, Missouri. And the studio is Redbone Mike Crace on the keyboards. Is that right? Called the keyboards?
It's called the board.
The board. Okay, not keyboard. Keyboard's an instrument.
Playing music on
And Wayne Locke here is recording data for the podcast. And our special guest is Ryan McKinley with Legacy Farmland Specialist LLC and A.H. Marshall with Soggy Bottom Boys Outfitters Guide Service. And, man, we got a story. Yeah. But before we do, let's talk about the Cardinals. What's the Cardinals doing?
Well, as of today, Wednesday, and they're playing as we record this game, they're 6-6 in last place in the National League Central. But here's the thing. If they were in either the National League East or the West, they would be in second place. So the season, the division, and eventually the schedule will catch up because eventually the Pirates and the Brewers and the Cubs and those teams ahead of them will have to play Philadelphia, the Dodgers, you know, make a West Coast trip, and that's always disastrous. But, Cardinals are fine. But we didn't talk any high school baseball before. I want to give a couple of shout-outs. Poplar Bluff Mules continue to win. I think they've won.
I hear that they are the team.
I think they've won 13 in a row now. Mm. Portageville is still ranked number one in Class 2 baseball. And the West Plains Zizzers are now, I think after Saturday, 14-0. They are undefeated. The Zizzers are for real. They are for real, folks. I think they've got three kids that have already signed to go play at the next level. And they're just not beating people. They're like Papa Bluff. They're not just beating people, they're beating people up. I mean, they're playing a whole lot of five-inning ball games right now. So anyway, just want to give a shout out to those two in particular.
And the girls' softball teams.
Redbone
keeps up with them. There's a lot of good teams in this area.
A lot of good teams, and the thing is about the softball is it all depends on your pitcher. And if your pitcher's having a bad day, you're going to have a bad day as a team.
Yeah.
And, I'll give you a perfect example. Now, Thayer beat Alton, softball, 10-6. Alton goes over and beats Van Buren to win the Big Springs Conference Tournament.
I never knew that.
Thayer beat Mountain Grove 3 weeks ago. Mountain Grove comes down and scores 7 runs in the top of the 7th to come back and beat Thayer. Mm. Thayer lost to Willow. Willow beat Mountain Grove. I mean, it's just crazy. And it all depends. It all depends. I don't care what you say, who you are. Women's softball, it all depends on the pitcher. And I don't mean to put any additional pressure on girls to pitch, but that's where it's at, especially in high school girls softball.
Yeah. Soccer.
Hey, the Liberty Eagles soccer team's getting better each week. Like we said before, they started out being a new team after a couple years off. Bunch of new players there that have no experience. They went from losing 8-0 down to 3-0. This last game that they played, they lost 2-1. They finally scored their first goal, so that was exciting for them. Coaches got them on the right track. They got a big game coming up Monday against the West Plains. So that'll be a good test for them. We'll see how they do. But it's going to be a good test for them. West Plains is a good team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. West Plains is good at everything they do. Now, back to turkey hunting. Let's talk about this, and we'll get right to this. All right. Missouri turkey season is 3 weeks long. You're allowed 2 gobblers or bittered turkeys. Private land, again, you can hunt all day long, you know. Where there's lots of turkeys, I'm going to other counties to hunt because there's more turkeys there than there are in my county where I'm hunting. So take advantage of it. Just don't abuse it, you know. And remember this, all hunters represent all hunters, you know. I got a pet peeve I'm going to talk about, something that happened, then we're going to get right into this interview of this big gobbler. Somebody killed 2 gobblers and threw them out on our gravel road, Wayne. in the ditch. I don't know if you saw them.
No, I did not see those.
They didn't even take all the breast out of one of them. And that was Saturday morning early when they threw them out. You know, and that could have been a kid's turkey. So these guys that's doing that stuff, they have no respect for kids or, you know, maybe, it's a bad deal.
Maybe read to them what the proper procedures are on getting rid of a carcass after, because a lot of people are uneducated more than they are just being, taking it to where.
You're right.
So they're uneducated on what the proper procedures
are. Well, I promise you, where this was at, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. They done it, try to aggravate people in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they left the spurs on one, cut the spurs off the other one, and not all the breast was taken out of it. But anyway, be respectful. Again, all hunters represent each other. So think about that.
It doesn't take much to give all hunters a bad name.
No. So here we are.
I was going to say, and on that note, Redbone, you look at permission when you go to a private landowner. Years ago, you used to be able to knock on a door and they'd be like, yeah, no problem. And they would, for generations, they would let other people hunt on their property and that. And it would only take one bad hunter to leave a gate open, shoot a fence, shoot something they weren't supposed to, and it ruined it for everybody. So even though they had 50 good hunters before that, it only took one to ruin it for everybody else.
Yeah. So here we are. What about this 16-inch to 17-inch bearded turkey? Are you sure none of them are loose? Just hanging down there.
We tugged on them a handful of times, didn't we, Meg?
Yeah. Right.
And you know how it is when you finally wind up putting the tape to it and chest bumps. I mean, we were hooping and hollering like we was, high school kids again, just won a state championship.
Yeah.
But, honestly, it can happen anywhere. I mean, it was one strand, I think, hit the tape measure is 16-something.
Yep.
But, going back to what you guys are talking about as far as management-wise, like, there's nothing that you can create or generate to produce world-record turkeys. It's all just a luck of the draw. But I would say we're McKinley, Western Kentucky, Southern Missouri, Southern Illinois, the turkey populations have seen a rise when everybody else is talking about a decline. And I don't know what the reason for that is, but Illinois turkey tags are just extremely hard to get because you have to do a draw process. And so that limits, you go to Davisdale Public Hunt or Mark Twain National Forest in Missouri, there's 15 trucks there. You go to public hunting in Southern Illinois, there'll be two. So your hunting pressure is very...
I don't know if I would have said that on the show.
Hey, don't be crowding my truck.
Hey, but, real quick, who is Ron McKinley and A.H. Marshall? Tell us who you are.
Well, we're a pretty good team.
Who is Ron McKinley?
Ron McKinley is a Missouri broker, Kentucky auctioneer for Legacy Farmland Specialist LLC. I'm your go-to guy for all your real estate needs, and can fix you up with that. AH is the guy. He is my professional hunting assistant.
Man, I come from the mud. Grew up poor boy in Southeast Missouri and was able to start buying, investing in the land and Legacy Farming Land has been a great asset to building my portfolio and my net worth.
Yeah.
And if I can do it, anybody can do it. But that's who I am, just an old turkey thug from the swamps of Mississippi County.
And you run outfitting service, and we're doing a turkey camp over in Western Kentucky along the Mississippi with you guys. We got a couple of openings left, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Anybody interested? We're going to talk about that. But we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this 16-inch bearded gobbler to 17-inch gobbler. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more right after this.
This is Brenda Valentine, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
And my old pair of hunting boots passed on down, planted deep in the ground around your heart, so you never gotta worry what the wind might.
Hey guys, it's food plot planting time here in the Ozarks and all across the country. What are you planting this year, Wayne?
I'm going to put some smorgasbord in with a whole lot of clover.
You're going to put some extra clover in it.
What? Smorgasbord? What is smorgasbord?
Man, it is a variety of annuals and perennials that'll get you through fall time, winter time, and all the way into spring.
It's awesome. You want to plant healthier food plots to track all kinds of game? Go to www.eagleseed.com. It's a smorgasbord. You know, we all get tired of certain things. The smorgasbord has everything. Your deer will love it. Eagleseed.com.
American Roots.
Eagle Seed presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors, segment three of our show. We are in the studio at K Country 95. And again, our special guests along here with Redbone and Wayne and I are Ryan McKinley with Legacy Farmland Specialists, LLC, and Soggy Bottom Boys Guide Service, A.H. Marshall. You know who the guys are. They got a story to tell here. So he takes and comes and picks your son up. He's been scouting these turkeys for months. Using trail cameras, et cetera, listening to them, and tell your story.
Well, McKinley started off, he's got several thousand acres of access over in western Kentucky, and I'm talking about where the high ground meets the low ground, that bluegrass state, with prototypical what you think God's country is for turkey hunting, that's what we have over there. And at the end of the day, you know, I've got a couple farms that we purchased over in that region in the Hickman-Carlisle County area. And it's, like I said, where the high ground meets the low ground. So in flood years, the turkeys can get up to the hill country and they can get out of that flood and still have a nest. And so we don't really see a very hard detrimental where we're not getting a good hatch over on that side. Now, you go to the southern Missouri side, a big flood will do a damper on that hatch. So you go 1 year from hearing 8, 10, 12 birds gobble to a poor hatch, it'd be completely different the next year.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I got a question on that flooding, though. Do you find on years where you have some flooding and then birds move up that you find it easier to hunt the birds because now they're more concentrated to instead of being spread out from the bottoms up, now they're just more on the up? You find it a little easier?
MDC has done a really good job of adapting their hunting regulations on the floodplain areas. So now from Scott County to South Pemscott County is at a certain river level on a certain public Donaldson Point, number 7, they shut the hunting down at those flood stages where, you know, it just becomes a strategic advantage for the hunter is not fair for the wildlife. But before that, you know, you have a certain flood stage that you can still hunt the turkeys. So it does give the hunter a little bit of advantage, but honestly, the turkeys can fly. And I've seen, I'm a riverboat pilot by trade. I see turkeys in the trees and they'll fly down on drift and eat the bugs. And like I said, they can survive it better than a whitetail can. It's just that it hurts their hatch, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Now back to our focus here.
Yes.
It's good to touch on that stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the story of your hunt.
Okay. So we dropped off McKinley. I said, hey, drop us off at the bottom of the hill. It'd be better to get dropped off than Kentucky hunt all day. Just like Missouri now, I guess, on private. So he dropped us off and we weren't there for, you know, a half an hour and we could hear turkeys probably gobbling within 500 yards, but man, it was just real distant and faint. And with, you know, how the morning laid out, or the pretty much the mid morning laid out, was we did our little calling sequence, but we were patient. And his boy is a good woodsman. You know, it's the father's job to get the kids out. McKinley's done a great job with Lane getting them in the woods. And so you don't have to do too much coaching when you have a kid and you've grown them up in the woods. So pretty much all I had to do was do my job, which was know where the turkeys were going to be. And lo and behold, I gobbled up 7 jakes first, and they came in strutting, doing it just like you see in the hunting videos Alex used to create back in the day now. And they were trying to beat up the decoy. Well, that goblin gobbled up another longbeard that came, I'm talking to our 6 o'clock, at least 600-700 yards. And he shows up and he sees the jakes. They ran him completely off that big gobbler, completely off the field. And he gobbled, but they were chasing. I mean, it was a madhouse.
It goes back to what I said earlier.
Absolutely.
The jakes will chase them
all. I watched it. Blaine and I watched it firsthand. Well,
goes back to what I said earlier. The jakes will chase them off. I'm having trouble here remembering to stay on the microphone. I apologize for that, guys.
We're getting excited about turkey.
If somebody else would run the camera for me, I wouldn't be doing or messing up like this. I apologize. Go ahead.
But so about an hour later, I'm telling you, it was probably within 200 to 300 gobbles. There were some turkeys on the ridge that were gobbling. quite a ways off, and they kept getting closer and closer. Well, they winded up in the bottoms, and it was two long beers. Well, the two long beers were able to fend off the seven jakes, and we watched them work the hens, and they finally made it to that full strut decoy, and Lane did a great job, 25 yards, and when I don't know, TSS, it's a hard combination out here to survive that.
Are you shooting apex or what? What?
Yes, sir.
Apex.
I rolled them up. I wasn't a believer. You know, the Longbeard XRs, we all grew up buying that Walmart brand. The TSS is a game changer. I've seen it with the bird I killed in Georgia this past couple weeks. I'm a buyer. The proof's in the pudding.
Ryan, tell us. Ryan, tell us about the properties you got over there in Kentucky real quick.
Well,
where you killed that turkey. Is that one of the places you got for sale?
No, that particular place isn't.
But you got places close.
We got places that have just good turkeys. I mean, everything over there with the, I think when the last, you know, 3 years ago, we had a major predator problem there. And people have, you know, the local populace and other folks have gotten good on, you know, decreasing those numbers, which has brought the turkeys and deer back up more.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything we have over there is a prime spot for a lot of things.
The farm you do have for sale, we had a tremendous youth season. The farm he does is the Isle Wilson Farm in Southern Illinois. We killed two gobblers off that youth season, and it's for sale through Legacy Farmland, and it is a crackerjack deer, duck, and turkey combo. I mean, it'd be hard to find something to replace that. But that it was two big long beers killed off that, and that's all the turkeys we'll kill off that track for the entire year. We met our quota. So
yeah.
All right, so I want to hear the stats on this bird. I mean, from the guys that killed it.
We didn't have a chance. We didn't have a scale.
We got too crazy.
We were not expecting what happened at
got
all.
Got too excited.
It was a big time.
I pulled up in the truck to pick them up. They had no signal down there, so we were out fishing and things like that. And I was like, man. What they got down there was crickets all afternoon. And yeah. It was like they didn't see any turkeys.
Yeah.
So I get down there. I got the window down the truck. He runs up the window. He says, Lane just killed a Kentucky State record bearded turkey. I was like, he and DNA is one of the greatest people you ever meet to get things hyped up and people going. So I thought he was just kind of, you know, he killed a good beard. Well, then we got out there looking at it, and those strands were hanging way down there. And so we Googled it up on the way back to the cabin. It's like, it's 17 inches is a state record for Kentucky. And we're like, man, we're in the running. And so that's how it went down. And so we didn't get a weight. We didn't get any of that, but we got the
So you guessed him. What do you guess?
It was 26 pound turkey. I killed a Georgia turkey that weighed 19 pounds. And I could curl him pretty easy. But this old swamp bottom bird, he'd been on that corn and soybean all winter long in the Midwest like that. They get substantially bigger.
And we got to go to break here in just a moment. But A.H., when you saw that bird, was there any indication just from looking at him that this bird is special?
You know how it is. It happens so fast. They did that velociraptor run in there. you know how it is when they hit that velociraptor run. They're swaying back and forth, and it's all happening so fast.
I thought the first clue might have been that he was a state record when he kept tripping over his beard and he was tumbling. So that's probably why he only had a few strands left. He pulled the other ones out.
That may have been the cause of the pterodactyl run. But I just seen two long beards come. I said it's go time. Let's get that gun out that shooting blind.
So the official length from where you cut it off to where it is, what is it?
Sunday we got it out of the freezer and I marked it off on the kitchen table, which is a white table, and zero. I put 16 and a half and 17 inch measurement down, and I straightened her out without jerking on it, hard, being gentle with it, and it landed right on just a smidge over 16.
Wow.
Pretty
awesome.
Gnarly.
Awesome. And that was frozen.
So, this is on social media. We'll talk more about it. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with more American Roots Outdoors right after this.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Waddy with Bone Collector, and you're listening to my buddy Alex Rutledge on American Roots Outdoors, man. Don't miss an episode.
Accurate, deadly, dependable, Hornady ammunition. From a two-man operation in 1949 to a world-leading innovator of bullet, ammunition, reloading tool, and accessories design and manufacturer today, Hornady Each piece is hand-inspected to ensure consistency and quality. Ammunition engineered to perform flawlessly. Simply put, the best. Hornady Ammunition. Find Hornady Ammunition at a retailer near you and at Hornady.com.
Apex Ammunition presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors. And we are in the studio again, if you're just joining us, with Ryan McKinley with Legacy Farmland Specialists, LLC, and A.H. Marshall, the owner of Soggy Bottom Boys Guide Service, that called in a gobbler for Ryan's son, Laney.
Lane.
And 16-inch beard. How long was the Spurs?
Man, they were broke down. You could tell he'd been fighting. It's kind of funny. Where the high ground meets the low ground, you'll get hill birds, and then you'll get – we've killed birds with pushing 2-inch spurs down there in them bottoms that don't have the – but where the hills meet right there, you'll get – it's like ridge turkeys and swamp bottom turkeys all converge at once. And you'll get birds that are in them hills, they're only going to go an inch and a quarter spurs. Yeah. But then they'll run into I killed a bird a few years back on that same bluff, and I mean – it looked like he was oscillated, you know, just sharp, long, and never looked like he had been in a fight day in his life, but you knew he ruled the roost. They were streaming along, you know, but, he probably had an inch spurs.
I got a question for you here. And I already know what calls he used.
Oh, man.
But I want you to talk about it. Did you bring them with you?
Well, they're in my truck. I left them out there.
Tell everybody what call you used.
Man,
And tell them how you work the turkey.
Well, that fight and purr is a game changer. Learned that all the way back in the day when the fellas here. I don't think I went into how I met Alex. I was in seventh grade. My dad entered me in a turkey calling competition. And Alex was the host of it, and you had all the greats: Don Shipp, Walter Parrott. All the greats, Chris Parrish, all of them boys were there. And I remember they said, well, I don't know why we're competing. We all know Walter's going to win. And I said, who's Walter? I'm coming for him. They all laughed. So, you know, running a mouth call has been something that I've fancied for a long time. But I've called them all. And but Alex sent me that packet in the mail. It was like Christmas. And I pulled that bat wing out. That
L-300.
It's a 300, yeah.
L-300.
Man, what is it?
L-300.
The M-150 is...
M-150.
Yeah, that's that cutting... That's the cutting fool right there. You hit that fly down cackle, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Boy, she'll get them hammering. But that bat wing was what did it. When I pulled it out and was able to do a soft purr and putt like that, there's very few calls you get out of the box, especially that are not truly custom cut. You know, they're factory cut. Yeah. And it was one of the purest sounding calls that I've ever got out of the box.
Easy to use, too.
Man,
They're very easy. It takes no air. So you started working the turkeys. You brought the jakes in. They kind of run one gobbler off. And you had a strutter decoy at the same time. And it just goes to show perseverance. You stayed in the same location. All these other turkeys got them around. You never left that location. And this is a tip for all of our listeners that's hunting. Stay put. If there's gobblers in that area, all these other turkeys heard this gobbling going on, this calling going on. Stay put. Set up over your decoys. Keep the sun to your back. And, you know, have the decoys pointing towards you. Make sure your decoys, if any approaching hunters come in, you never know if a trespasser is coming. You can yell at that person. Don't wave your hand and go, ow. You know, don't do that. Don't whistle. Don't wave. Just say, hey, man, I'm a hunter over here. You know, safety's number one, you know. That's so right. Perseverance and calling, you knew that those turkeys are going to be there.
Man, it's just I've been listening for I've been hunting that region my whole life. It'd be like, you know, you saying where you're going to know where bird's going to be at in your backyard, in your county. Yeah. So I've never seen that many birds in that particular, you know, in that particular window to that magnitude. But like I said, it has a lot to do with the management plan that's in place and what the Kentucky wildlife. I mean, it's just a full spectrum. There's not one without the other. And that's why we kind of brought up the foxy haze and the and that that really, like all of us men, as you go through periods of life, you want to kill them all, cut them all, Jack. But when you get to our age and you start, man, it's truly something special to hear that bird hammer.
Yeah.
And you want to kind of relish in that scenario. And I don't, you know, Lane being a young hunter, to see his dad and you know, his guide get that fired up, he knew something was big. And I think it's going to be a generational. The 3,000 birds killed in Missouri is a direct reflect of YouTube and parents wanting to get their kids out in the woods. That's a great thing, you know. So
yeah, yeah. You know, we got about 4.5 minutes left here in the show. And you know, my perspective of what I've watched from you guys today, and I've known you for a while now, I must say that I see a passion in you. I see. I'll tell you what really shines in you is your respect for your elders. When you talk about Fox and the Colonel, and you talk about our youth, it shows the respect he has for the sport of hunting. And you love to kill turkeys. And how old are you now?
I'm 38, but I get around like I'm 28.
So Ryan, and I see you're a very serious person, and you have a great compassion for your baby boy. And what did it mean to you? To see him when you drove up with him and your son standing there and really open up to us.
It's like that morning, you know, we went to a separate farm that we hadn't scouted or anything. We just knew the birds were going to be around there, didn't know where to start. And so we hunted all morning and we did the best we could, and we got some close, but we didn't get the deal done. So we scouted all the rest around all the other farms. Did everything I know to do. And then AH took over and he was like, hey, here's what we're going to do. Yeah. And so then I was all the whole time they were gone. I didn't no cell phone service, no communication. So when I got down there and I saw him standing there,
talk about it.
And there, I saw that turkey laying there. I was like, if there's anybody thank that could have done it. It's this one right here.
You killed your first bird with me.
That's right. That's right. I did.
I tell you, you know, when somebody's ate up, I've lost appendages turkey hunting. That's how, I mean, I get crazy with it. And I'll swim, you know, you're like, swim. You swim for a turkey? We kill turkeys out of boats where we're from. Like, we'll motor to them, get out. And that's how you have to access. You got a motor to get to these backwater turkeys and then dismount from there to close distance. So, you know, every area's got a different way that the technique, I guess up here on the 11 point, y'all canoe to the turkeys.
Yep, yep.
So we put that boat in the big river and we'll go find them that way.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I love it. I surely do.
You know, I was just thinking, that's two generations now you've guided. You guided the dad.
Think about that.
Now you guided the son, and you're still young enough, you could be guiding the grandchildren real soon of the guy you introduced and got his first turkey. That's amazing right there.
It is. You have to have to be excited about other people having success. I think that's what a lot of times the YouTube is, the immediate gratification in today's world. You got to understand it's more than just getting a Facebook picture or an Instagram post of a bird killed. And a lot of people aren't covering that. And it's, my son could go out at 5 years old with a 410 TSS Apex and go kill a bird. I want him to understand what it means. I went years without killing a turkey.
Yes.
Years.
Yes.
So, you know, you want to get them fired up and get them in there and get that blood, but you also don't want to make it to where it's such immediate gratification, mm-hmm. you know, there's a process to all of this.
And I want to add to that, you know, someone that's, and you've seen a lot of turkeys die, and we all have, a majority of us have. And, someone that used to be mad at turkeys had to kill everyone that I set up on. You know, I'm 59 years old now. That's not what I'm about. I'm all about sharing. I've been that way most of my life, sharing with kids and taking people to never kill one or kill very few. And, you know, it was like my gobblers last year that I had coming in on my property, 7 of them. I never killed none of them. I want to see our resource grow and thrive. And, you know, the thing is, my message to everybody that's listening, you need to ask yourself, are you a gamekeeper or are you a game hog?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a game hog, your future of hunting will probably be gone. But if you're a gamekeeper and you take care of your resource and you do food plots, you feed and create nesting sites and do all these things, you'll have a great hunting piece of property for futures to come and to the kids. That being said, we're going to wrap it up. This is the end of the show, and great guest.
Yes, I hear more on the podcast.
More on the podcast. Segment four coming up. Wayne, tell them about it.
Yeah, to listen to more of the show, just because the radio show ends doesn't mean that this show is ending. Just go to your favorite podcast carrier, American Roots Outdoors, and click like, subscribe, follow, whatever it asks you to do on your favorite podcast. You'll get not only the bonus segment, but if you missed any of the radio show, you can catch that radio show in its entirety, plus 5 years of past radio shows, too, that you can enjoy while you're sitting on your tractor or sitting in your blind.
Yeah. That being said, how can they contact Legacy Farm Land?
Give us a call at 573-785-0350. Check us out online at www.legacyfarmlandspecialist.com. Get a hold of us.
Bree Snow's on here. Give her a shout out.
Bree Snow.
Hey, girl.
See y'all. Remember, teach your boys to be men, your girls to be ladies, and always remember,
when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
So you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Take it to a holler, take it to a field, across a creek, up a big old hill.
Do you want to sell your land? Do you want to buy land, hunting land, farmland? Contact Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC. Ryan McKinley, tell us about Legacy.
Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC is based out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. We service all the state of Missouri. We're opening up an office in Kentucky. Come and see us.
There you have it, folks. Legacy Land and Farm Specialist, LLC. Buy, sell, auction. Ryan McKinley, 573-683-1449.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart, so you never got
away. Amped Outdoors presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. This is the bonus segment of the American Roots Outdoors show. Again, Wayne Locke and Redbone's going to take it over here. I'll kind of stand up in the background. And what are we going to talk about in the bonus segment?
Well, I think we should touch it. When we were off air, these guys here were talking about the predators and what damage it had done to some of the properties that they had, and how getting them under control seemed to really make a difference. I'd like to touch more base on that, because I know Alex and I live right across the road from each other, and every night on my Wise Eye cameras, I have coyotes, fox, raccoons. Every single night on at least two of my four cameras on one end of my property. So I know there's a problem there. And I've been, every time I run into our good old buddy there in Mountain View, who likes to predator hunt. Yep, Eddie and his wife there, I will tell them, I'll give them little hints. Hey, I got some coyotes for you. And well, how often do they show up? Every day. He's like, really? I just can't get him to coax over.
They still ain't been down there.
So I thought I'm going to have to throw in maybe a steak or cook on the grill or something for him to get entice him to come down. But I know once we get him under control, it'll help. But you know, you were saying on the one break there how it's made a big difference. What were you seeing that when the numbers were down?
Well, we have a property that's listed through Legacy. It's Eastside Lodge, and it's 1,000 acres. And I think we killed 66 coyotes off of that property. And the first year that we turkey hunted that, I heard two birds gobbling on that. And this is the seventh year that we've had it. And I went down there yesterday morning in a thunderstorm, and it was, I heard at least 12, if not more. Oh, my. And we were talking about, you know, a periodic change of, you know, 5 to 7 years. But predation is a huge, you know, detriment to wildlife, that the deer and the turkey, especially coons. We got to do a better job with the coons. But I'll let McKinley talk on that a little bit, what he's seen in Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, we had, clientele up from southern Georgia, southern Alabama, northern Florida, reporting back to us of what they were seeing in their deer stands. of groups of 6 to 8 dogs targeting feeding deer on food plots and things like that.
Wow.
Where they would actually come in like a force into a field in a pack, and they would divide and mm-hmm. they would spread out and surround the deer feeding.
Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
And that's in one field. Then they were targeting those deer at those specific times because that's when those deer were feeding in those open ground, on that open ground like that.
Well, very similar to hyenas.
Yeah.
You know, they'll separate, they'll pull the one, they'll get the weakest one out, or the youngest one that they know they can catch, and
that's
then go
how they're
after
operating.
It.
And we were seeing bobcats in daylight, in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh.
Bobcat across the field. You don't see bobcats in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
That's pretty odd.
Matter of fact, I had a bobcat 4 o'clock in the afternoon 2 days ago on my camera.
If you need some shout out to a good friend of mine from back in the day, Alan Bullman's a predator hunter. He was the one that did a good job of weaning out the coyotes. And what it did was, when we were shooting, you know, 150, 160 class deer, and we would lay them overnight with the archery equipment. By the time you got to that deer the next morning, if you were back 6 inches, a gut shot deer, the coyotes would run that deer to a different county. You would never find it because they'd go land, water, land. They could run forever and couldn't bed up. But then if you double lunged it and you made just the picture perfect shot on it, that coyote, there wasn't nothing left but the neck and the rack.
Right.
So by doing that, we have had a higher success rate and recovery during our time of guiding deer hunts. Because of that, and it's helped everything, the turkeys as well. But I just wanted to reiterate that.
Yeah, and locally, you know, there in a lot of our hunting ground, the local populace have really stepped up. A lot of your night hunting, you know, people are enjoying that thermal hunting, things like that. So that's really helping. And then they're doing roundups, you know, a little competition, you know. Every team throws in $100 bill. And
the predator competitions are actually growing leaps and bounds.
Yes.
And whether it be the coon hunters, I know locally here in Oregon County, we've got 2 coon clubs that have kind of reopened and have started their competitions again and started hunting again. So I think people are realizing we got to do something about these predators or we're not going to have turkeys. And they're also destroying our deer population.
That's right.
If you know coon hunters that need places to go hunt, give us a call. We have places that they can just go all they want.
Thousands of acres.
Wow.
Hundreds
of coons.
They want
all the coons killed.
Yeah. Well, hundreds of coons.
And I want to say that this roundups are probably the fastest growing demographic, would you say, Wayne? Redbone in the outdoor industry right now. These predator hunts.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's growing by leaps and bounds. You know, in the wintertime, you know, we did our trapping shows.
Right.
And now when you go to the outdoor stores, you're seeing more and more trapping supplies. And I think because it's a section of the outdoors that is coming back. And I think a lot of hunters are getting older, and we like the nostalgia. You know, I remember going with my grandpa, and we go running, you know, trap lines. Or when we go running trot lines, you know, during the summer, fish for catfish. And then we never did do that. And they've gone away, and it kind of got away from us. Now we're getting old enough; we want to do those things again.
Yeah,
and Eddie, I think it's all about the nostalgia of hunting, getting back to our American roots.
Right. And Eddie Owens, who's our predator guru that we have on every year, he talked about this year how the competitions have grown from just a handful of people that would participate to now people are traveling from all over the state to go to these particular hunts to participate in, because you know the pots, instead of being $500 or $600, which was great to split with your buddy, now they're $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. So that definitely pays for your room, board, gas, and any toys and that you don't want to tell the wife about, you know, because you only won
if you win,
right? That you only won $500 at, right? And I put that in quotes. But it's grown huge, and that's good because that's what it's going to take, I think, for like you said, deer to come back. Turkey to come back, is we got to get more people involved in the predator.
I've got farms, you know, on trail cameras, and we feed quite a bit, but it's nothing to have 5 to 20 coons on one bait pile. Kentucky, you can feed.
Yeah.
So
that is a problem.
5 to 20 coons is pretty normal.
Yeah.
That's how many, and that's just one. That's one spot.
Well, I can say I don't think, Alex, we don't have that kind of. Not 5 to 20. I mean, we get 2 or 3 running in a picture. We're like, oh my gosh, it's crazy out there. It's like a highway.
But yeah, but you know what? For everyone you see, there might be 2 or 3 more.
Right? That's right. Yeah. Well, I know when Alex did a burn a few years ago, that's when you really can see your coons, because those all those trees that are falling that broke halfway up that the coons live in, you'd be surprised how many coons you see running out of the out of a controlled burn. It's like, oh, well, wait a minute, we had way more than what we thought. But I know you were saying, once again, if you guys can let us know, where can people reach you at for the properties? And if they want a predator hunt on your property, how can they get a hold of you?
Just call me, 573-683-1449. What's your number?
573-233-5558.
Just give us a call. And if you know, our properties, or we have landowners that might want to have you come hunt, then
yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of options. Anything to do with land, farms, hunting, give us a call. We talk about it all day, every day. That's what we do. So,
or just do a Google search on the internet.
Legacy Farm and Land Specialists, LLC.
All right, there you go.
Sounds good. Well, hey guys, thanks for joining us today. And what a great show and great radio segment we had earlier. Mike, what are we looking at here for next week, do you think? Alex, what are we looking
turkey
at next
hunting,
week?
Turkey hunting,
we're
turkey
a
hunting.
Follow-up turkey hunting. You know, we're going to tell success stories and what calls was using tactics to help the hunters that's still trying to get their turkey.
Yeah. Next, well, of course, season opens on Monday.
Right, we'll have one weekend.
Of course, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you might be listening who knows when.
Right.
April 15th, first day of the season.
And I'm going to miss it. That sucks. I'll be out Tuesday morning, but I'm going to miss opening day.
All right. Guys, again, thank you for listening. Thank you to all the partners that help support us to be able to bring these shows to you, and our national sponsors, you know. Special shout out to Wise Eye and Hornady Eagle Seed, Amped Outdoors, Apex, and Legacy Farmland Specialists. And teach your boys to be men, teach your girls to be ladies, and always remember,
when your roots run deep and strong,
there is no reason to fear the wind.
How many of you are tired of your batteries running out of energy, out of power? Let me tell you about Amped Outdoors. I've changed using the batteries I have had in the past. Amped Outdoors, I have the new 80 amp, 24 volt, single battery, weighs 46 pounds. This thing has produced energy all day long. Tested for 2 days, total use 11 hours. Cannot tell the batteries have even lost any energy. Go to Amped Outdoors if you want to be successful and not run out of power.